I thought that it would be good to talk about dying in concrete terms. We use this word dying often. We talk about, as Mark very powerfully expressed it in his first talk, that the sort of movement that Christianity and the gospel brings us to is an understanding of death that is redemptive. But what exactly does that mean? Someone will say to me, well, I know exactly what it means because I'm dying right now in this situation or that situation. But what does it actually mean to live in the creation that has been subjected to futility and to cleave to those things which are abiding, but to not be influenced by those things here? What does it mean concretely? What do we mean when we say dead, alive to God, but dead to the world? I'm going to try to talk about this in concrete personal terms. William James was an actual, really, as it turns out, was an apologist for Christian faith, though at the time when he taught philosophy and religion at Harvard in the late 19th century, he was regarded by confessional Christians as a kind of founder of phenomenology or the history of religion school of thought. But that's not true. William James, in his book, Varieties of Religious Experience, stands out as being an apologist for God really existing, as opposed to a detached academic eye. And he was terribly attacked for being way too religious. But needless to say, on the right, he was worse attacked. You know the expression, you can always be outflanked on the right? I'm obviously not connecting. But William James, all I'm trying to say is that conservative Christians can be worse than liberal Christians. That's all I'm trying to say. Although they're all, any ideological person can kill you. But James, at the end of his wonderful book, The Varieties of Religious Experience, which is 1905, he said, how can I talk about God? How can I, as a philosopher and as a senior professor at Harvard University, talk about God in a meaningful way to secular people? Can I find a mediating term for God? And he said an extraordinary thing in chapter 20. He said, let me try this one on. Let's say that God is the subconscious. Well, that's what he said. He said, if we're trying to pin down something that is everywhere, that is invisible, that is constantly coming out and hitting us and moving us and twisting us and pulling us and pushing us and forcing us to our knees, why not look at the experience of the subconscious mind? Well, I think it was a fantastically fruitful, possible way of looking at it. But all I do in using that example is I'm trying to find a way to talk about dying in a way that's real, just as he was trying to find a way to talk about God in a way that secular people would not recognize as can't, but was meaningful. And I would say that dying is really detaching. Now, hear me out. Detaching has all sorts of resonances in religious life. But dying, the experience of dying as the gospel sees it, is really a form of detaching. How many of you have been with a dead person? Many have, actually. You've been with someone that you knew or you loved who is now dead. And Surely you've said to yourself, well, my mother's not there. I mean, if you haven't, you'd be crazy. Because we've all been, when you see a dead person laid out, who was your mother, or who was your brother, or who was even your child, you have to say, when you look at the shriveled up, made up face, you have to say to yourself, whoever my mother was, that's not her. I mean, it's empirically obvious that whoever the person was is not there. Well, this leads me to say that dying is a form of detachment that physical death actually forces. But in the meantime, our catastrophes require. We have to detach from the self that is being bruised and wounded. And that's what death is. That's why psychic death in this life is so impossible, because we cannot detach. Let me give you an example. Constantly I'm with people in hospital rooms. Let's say the husband is there and his wife is dying and she's on life support. And this is what he says. Honey, don't die. Please, don't die. Don't leave me. Now, who is he talking about? Himself. It's not about her. It's entirely about him. Whatever you do, don't leave. Do you remember the Green Mile? When, what was his name? John what? Coffey. John Coffey, the hero of the book, at the end, they're on a bus in the New Jersey Turnpike in Delaware. And the man's wife is killed, and she's dying on the New Jersey Turnpike. And John Coffey can't get there in time. And all he sees in his mind's eye is the husband holding his dying wife's hand with a police vehicle on Route 95, saying, honey, don't leave me. Don't leave me. Well, that is so powerful because the man hasn't died to his love for the woman, and it's a love that is totally attached. You don't want to be like that when someone you love is dying, because it's all about you. If Mary is dying, if someone you love is dying, you don't want to be the pathetic individual that asks the person to stay alive just so you can have a good time, right? Do you? Of course you do. But is it loving? What's love got to do with it? To quote a Tina. What's love got to do with that? That's attached loving that is selfish, non-dead, and awful. You can see this exemplified in a movie that you've got to see. You've just got to go home immediately and see it. And it's a Finnish movie from 2009 called Letters to Father Jacob. It's one of the few movies that was made in 2009 that talks about the Lutheran Church of Finland. And it's in the top three of those movies. And Letters to Father Jacob, it simply shows a Lutheran Finnish clergyman who is a much loved answerer of letters. He's sort of a Dear Abby for Lutheran Christians in Finland. He answers their letters when they tell him their problems. But come to find out, he realizes that it's all about him. It's really not about the people who write him. It's about his tremendous absorbing need to feel needed. And when he realizes this, he dies. When he realizes that everything he has been doing as a clergyman has been about his attachment to their needs rather than them, he goes into his beautiful, large Finnish Lutheran church and lies down on a slab of a dead man and he dies. But he's not dead because then he gets up and leads a wonderful life. When I was in a time of tremendous emotional abyss, I crawled into the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem and spent the night in the Armenian Sepulchre, because right near where Jesus spent the night before Easter, The Armenians have a special sepulcher, and I crawled in, I got permission to spend the night in the empty tomb of the Armenian Orthodox Church. I was surprised to find that the Kardashian sisters had done the same. But but I did it. I did it because I wanted to be like the man in the movie, because I realized the only possible way to live in the face of whatever impasse you have been handed, whatever impossible situation, is to die to it. So I mystically spent the night, literally, in the Armenian sepulcher. And dying is really, just as William James said that God equals the subconscious, and it's a very limited metaphor, I would say to you that if you want to know what dying is, it has to do with detaching from the people that you love. That's what dying is. Dying, in real terms, the dying that Jesus Christ talks about in St. Paul, means detaching from the people that you love. You know, I used to hate this because I was so incredibly attached to certain individuals. Can you think of the person that you're most attached to? Maybe they're 1, 2, 3, 5. And if you're attached and you listen to the Police sing, "If you love somebody, set them free," you'll hate that song. I hated that song. I would no more set Mary free than fly to the moon. That's tough on Mary, right? Ah, let me out of here. You know, who really wants to love somebody in an attached way? Because if you love somebody in an attached way, when they leave you, you're gone. When they no longer are in your life, because you have been cleaving to the things that are here, you will yourself go to pieces completely. You'll commit suicide. Romeo, Juliet, who wants to be that? And the funny thing is, does anyone attach themselves to you? I mean, I'm saying that death means detaching from people that you love, but is there anybody that you love who's too attached to you and it's a burden? Has anyone here ever been so attached to by somebody else that you can't breathe? I don't know. Obviously, no one here has had that experience. Matt, I love you. What happens is, when someone attaches themselves to you, you feel such a responsibility, and it's such a, you need to breathe, that you leave. This is why children leave their parents and don't email, because the attachment is too painful. It's suffocating, and you have to head for the hills. And the world is full of people who are fleeing from attachment, or who are forcing others to flee from them because of attachment. So detachment is my little proposal for you to understand what it means to die, as in Romans 8. And I'm going to close with a quote, and then with a final sentence. A lot of people don't realize that most great literary figures were really religious, even if they didn't appear to be. Hemingway, for example, wildly about religion. But not everyone realizes that J.D. Salinger was an over-the-top, semi-Christian mystic. All he was interested in was God. All. He was interested was God. And he would have said that to you, but he wouldn't have been here. He was a Christian, by the way. You know, he dealt very strongly with Jesus in his books. But I'm going to read a tiny quote from his religious mystical novel, Franny and Zooey, which is one of the great works of religious fiction of the last century, in my opinion. And this is, at the end, a brother is talking to his sister, and the sister has become obsessed with the Jesus prayer. Have mercy on me, you know, the Jesus prayer. What is it, Son of God? Will you say what it is, Mark? Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. That's the Jesus prayer. And the brother is telling the sister, who's become hooked on the Jesus prayer, the following. He says, you can say the Jesus prayer from now till doomsday, but if you don't realize that the only thing that counts in the religious life is non-attachment, I don't see how you'll ever even move an inch. Detachment, Franny, and only detachment. That's from page 198 of Franny and Zooey. Well, this helped me to realize that death in life is about allowing yourself to accept your crisis as God's way to detach yourself from your ego and to detach the person you're imprisoning and to simply die and yet be here. And this is my little proposal. You might almost say this. If you've been in the parish ministry, you'll know that the worst thing about being in the parish ministry, bar none, it makes me want to faint just talking about it, is projection. The worst thing, everybody who's in the parish ministry knows this, the worst thing about being in the ministry is people are projecting upon you massive ideas that have nothing to do with who you are. And similarly, you project on them negative ideas because of attitudes you have. And what ends up happening? You get fired. Now, all I'm saying, and this is my final word, is that another way to express death as being non-attached loving is to say non-projected loving. Non-projecting loving. And wouldn't it be fabulous if you could love someone without attaching and projecting onto themselves all your needs for affirmation? Just imagine. I can't even conceive of it. Well, I leave it with you that you could be dead while alive, like Leonard Cohen. You could be dead while alive, and your life would be wonderful if you could just for 5 seconds non-attach from the love that possesses, enthralls, controls, and functions as the law.